Welcome to Sunday night, June the 20th. There's a time for everything, but only one for all times. And that's the living, victoriously Christ. Living victoriously, class, is victorious living. It is radiant living. There are three words I like for you to remember tonight, because all three of these enable us to see the greatness of the victoriously living Christ. The first word is believing. Believing is the genus of Christianity. The second word is the word love. Love is the badge of Christianity. And in the third place, the word. It is the word, the scriptures, the word, which is the foundation of Christianity. One of our wonderful young ladies of the Way Ministry from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, wrote the following poem this week. Victorious living is living so fine, living God's word and making it mine. Loving the Father for sending His Son, and running the race which is already won. Living the mystery is Christ in me. I believed God's word, and then I did see. Just have to tell it and let it be known what God did for all from His heavenly throne. Yes, victorious living is living so fine, living God's word and making it mine. Isn't that a beautiful little poem? Have you really ever considered the dignity you have when you know that God put His Spirit in you? The dignity you have because of God's Spirit that's in you? How fortunate, blessed, and honored you are that you have your name written and recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, as it says in Revelation 21:27. Listen to this. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiled. Then the last phrase, but they which are written in the what? Lamb's Book of Life. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Genesis chapter 5, turn to Genesis chapter 5. It is interesting here that in chapter 5 of the book of Genesis, in verse 1, you have this record. This is the book of the generations. See the S on it? The generations of whom? Adam. The generations of what? Adam. There are two books in the Bible of generations. This is the first one, and it's mentioned in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. That's the book of the generations of whom? Adam. Now look at the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the what? Book of the what? Generation, and it's singular. the book of the generation of whom? Jesus Christ. So we have the book of the generations of Adam, but we have only the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Sort of neat. The reason it's in the plural in Genesis, generations, is because genetically the families got all mixed up, all screwed up. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, nobody can get screwed up, because there's only one seed of Christ in every born again believer. That's why it's generation, people, don't you see? In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, bless your heart, look at this. You all know it, but here it is in the Word. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, latter part of the verse. Now, if any man is the word anyone, or any man. Man is an inclusive noun, meaning anyone, man or woman. If anyone, have not the spirit of what? Christ, he is what? None of his. He's none of his. He would be of the generations of Adam, but not of the generation of who? Jesus Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of him. He's not of God. He's not of us. He hasn't got Christ in him, the hope of glory. There's a tremendous difference between religion and Christianity, people. Religion is based on human reason, human philosophy. Christianity is based on God's divine revelation. In Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55, listen to verse 8 of this wonderful chapter of Isaiah 55. Verse 8, God says, for my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Religion is based on human reasoning, human ways, human philosophy. God says his thoughts are not that kind of thought or those kind of thoughts. Neither are God's ways the ways of men. 4, verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, God says, higher than your man's ways, and my thoughts than your what? Thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain cometh down the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth fruit and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my what? Word. So shall my what? People, not man's word, not a philosophical doctrine, not a theologian's word, but God's word. People, my word, God says, my word, that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return what? Void. It will produce fruit, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I, God, sent my word. For, listen to this, you, the born-again believers today, this is for our learning, but in application it would apply, like I taught you from the principles of handling the word last night. You shall go out with joy, and you're going to be led forth with what? Peace. The mountains and the hills, its beautiful figure, shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field are going to applaud you. Have a happy time. Clap their hands. Verse 13, instead of the thorn, shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall what? Not be cut off. You see, people, Christianity is the way of a father with his family. God is our Father. We are His children. Religion is the ways of men. Christianity is what God wrought in Christ, people. What He wrought in Christ Jesus. And what He does in and for all believers. Religion is what men do to men. People, things in this world are made to be used. People are made to be loved. You never use another individual. You can use things like this microphone, these, whatever that is, growth. You can use those, but not people. People. Things are to be used. That's why they're here. Use them. But people are to be loved. Christianity is love. Religion is selfishness. You know, people, in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 2, we have the record of the creation of man, how God formed, made, and created man. Then in Genesis chapter 3, you have the record of the fall of man. And in Genesis chapter 4, the way back to God is revealed. Abel followed God's way. Cain followed man's way. There are only two ways, people. Only two ways. It's either the way of God or it's the way of Cain. In Acts chapter 18, Acts 18, verse 26, listen to this. Talking about Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla. And Apollos spoke boldly, verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. And they expounded on him the what? The way of whom? God. More what? That is one of the two ways. The way of God. The other is the way of Cain. In the book of Jude, immediately preceding Revelation. Jude. Don't have to worry about too many chapters. Verse 11. Listen to this. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of what? Cain. There are only two ways. One is the way of God. The other is the way of Cain. The way of God, people, is the true way. And that is expressed like in that old hymn, people. Nothing in my hands I bring. The way of Cain is the false way. And it is expressed in the words, something in my hands I bring. All religions, every religion maintains, as does the amount of religion that has crept into Christianity, that man must do something. He must be something. He must feel something, people, to merit God's love and God's salvation. Yet, the Word of God declares that God finds every imagination, every reasoning, every thought of man's heart evil continually. in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil continually. Look at verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted his, God's way upon what? The earth. In the book of Job, Job chapter 21. Job 21, verse 27, God says, Behold, I know your thoughts and the devices, the ideas, which ye wrongfully do what? Imagine against me. God knows your thoughts, man's thoughts, his devices, which he wrongfully imagines, puts up against God. In the book of Proverbs, there are many. I've just picked out a few for you tonight. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, chapter 21 of 15 of Proverbs. Proverbs 15. Verse 26, listen to this. The thoughts of the wicked are what? An abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are what to the Lord? Pleasant words. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Beginning with verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, 7:21 of Matthew, proceed evil what? Thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Verse 22, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, that's lust, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things, verse 23, come from within, and they defile what? Man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to verse 5. Casting down imaginations. And by the way, that word imaginations is sense, knowledge, reasonings. And every high thing. The word high is the word false, that exalted itself against what? The knowledge of God. Against the knowledge of God. You have to cast down all the reasonings and all the false things, all that sense knowledge stuff which is against the knowledge of God. And you bring into what? Captivity. You bring into captivity every thought. You control your mind, baby. You control it, sir. You bring your mind in control to the greatness of the knowledge of God's word. Every thought to the obedience of what? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Man has always been a critic of the Bible. The Word of God says the Word of God's the critic of men. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is what? Quick. That means it's living. And it's powerful, energetic. And it's sharper than any two-edged dagger or sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And is a discerner. The Word of God is a discerner. And the word discerner in the text is the word critic. The Word of God, honey, is a critic. The Word of God is the critic. Man is not the critic of the Word, people. The Word of God is the critic of men. The Word of God is the critic of not the thoughts and the intents of aught. The Word of God is, people. In the Gospel of John, this is what the Word declares in the Gospel of John. Listen to it. Chapter 3, well known to you, but you need perhaps to hear it again. 3, verse 3. Jesus to Nicodemus said, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be what? Born again." They should have stopped after the next 3 words. He cannot see. That's right. He's in darkness. He's in blindness. Because if a man does not have the Spirit of God in Christ in him, he is none of his. He does not have eternal life. Except a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Good Lord, verily, verily." The words "verily, verily" are "amen" and "amen," also translated that way. "I say unto you, unto thee, Nicodemus, I want to tell you, except a man be born of water," that's the natural birth, the breaking of, what do you call that sack that breaks when the baby's born? That's the word. Hey, that shows you're going to have a delivery. "Except a man be born of water," and number 2, of what? So you have a natural birth and a spiritual birth. "Except a man be born of..." Naturally, he could naturally never be born of the Spirit, right? You got to be born the first time in order to get born again the second time of the Spirit. Look at the greatness of that verse. "That man, except he's be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of what? God." Verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is what? The natural man of body and soul is flesh. But when that man who is body and soul believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead, confesses this with his mouth, he's born again," and then he becomes the second part of that verse. "That which is born of the Spirit is what? That which is born of the Spirit is eternal. That which is born of the flesh is temporal." Verse 7. "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be what? Born again." Look at verse 15. 15. "That whosoever believeth in him," Jesus Christ, "should not perish, but have what?" Right. "That whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life," is the original text. Whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. And whosoever means what, class? Whosoever. Has nothing to do with your academic background, nothing with your, all that other junk, has only something to do with, do you believe in him? Whosoever, whosoever believeth in him, whosoever shall have what? Eternal life. Look at verse 16, people. God so loved. If I'd have been God, I wouldn't have done it. But I'm not God, praise God, he did it. God so loved the world that God gave. He gave. God gave himself. No. He gave his what? People, you see, sense knowledge, man, that's religion. They got 3 gods or 3,000. But the Word of God has only 1 true God and 1 eternal Son, Jesus Christ. And those of us who are born again, small as sons of God, people. Man, all you have to do is read. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what?" The reason it's everlasting life, because you didn't have it from the beginning. You got it now. And from there on, from this moment, it's everlasting because it is eternal. That's the difference between everlasting and eternal. Now verse 17. Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what?" Verse 18, "He that believeth," he that believeth, he who believes on him is not condemned. is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only what? Begotten Son of God. And this here, 19, is the condemnation. Light is come. Lights is come. It's here into the world. But men loved what? Darkness rather than what? Because their what? Deeds were evil. Look at chapter 4, verse 24. God is what? Spirit. God is spirit. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, lived here upon earth, a man of body and soul, in whom the Spirit dwelt. But God is spirit. A spirit doesn't have form or comeliness, all that stuff. God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him. Absolutely must worship Him in spirit and in truth, or truthfully via the Spirit. God is spirit, people. There is no other way God can be worshipped than by the Spirit. You cannot bring God any money in heaven. It's impossible. God is what? Spirit. Oh, people, the word's so simple and it's so easy. Look at chapter 16 of the Gospel of John. The Word declares these things, people. 16 of John, verse 6. Listen to this. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, verse 7. I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I, Jesus Christ, do what? Go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, Pneumahagion, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will convict. The word reprove is convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of what? Of judgment. Verse 9 of 16 of the Gospel of John, of sin, because they believed what? Not on me. Verse 10 of righteousness, because I go to my what? And ye shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is already what? Man, we ought to believe that with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, for it's the word of God. The prince is already what? Judged. He's already judged. He, the one who, if he had known what the revelation of the mystery was, he'd never crucified the Lord of glory. He has already been what? Judged. That's the word, the word, the word. Boy, then verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you just cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he, that Spirit of truth, that Christ in you, the hope of glory, God in Christ in you, is come, then he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will even by revelation show you things to what? Come. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what Jesus Christ did for us. Jesus Christ came. He gave his life for God, so loved that he gave. Jesus Christ so gave. And all because he laid down his life for us. He who knew no sin became sin, so that you and I could become what? The righteousness of God in him. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, the victoriously living Christ today, because of what he did at Calvary.
Dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covered it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. My heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, but Calvary covered it all. Calvary covered it all. My past with its sin and shame, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covered it all. How matchless the grace when I looked in the face of Jesus, my crucified Lord. My redemption complete, I then fell at his feet, for Calvary covered it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by him bought shall dwell in God's glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng. For Calvary covered it all. Calvary covered. My guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, but Calvary covered it all.
Thank you, David. You're wonderful. Calvary covered it all with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ lived and walked in the realm of the miraculous. Jesus Christ made miracles commonplace. His conception was a miracle. His life was one miracle after another. His death was a miracle. His resurrection was a miracle. His post-resurrection appearances were miracles. His ascension was a miracle. Pentecost was a miracle. The new birth in you is a miracle. And the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle. You and I are the miracle workers, brother and sister. We are his brothers and his sisters. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Verse 11, for which cause, last part of the verse, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them what? Right. You can pick it up in verse 10, or I don't care where. By the grace of God, verse 9, latter part, should taste death for what? Every man, Jesus Christ, Calvary. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through experiences, is the text. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one of Christ. For which cause Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, is not ashamed. God is not ashamed. His Son, Jesus Christ, is not ashamed to call you his brother and sister. Man, if Jesus Christ and God aren't ashamed to call you his brother and sister, what are you ashamed of? That's the greatness of the living, victoriously living Christ in you. That's radiant living, people. He's not ashamed to call them what? You see, sense knowledge-wise and the ways of Cain, it seems to be a mark of recognition and even scholarship, even piety and fantastic brains, to deny God, the scriptures, and the miraculous. But ladies and gentlemen, when you take the supernatural out of Christianity, all you have left is religion. In Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to give you the accuracy of this word tonight of Hebrews 11. Therefore, the translation that I give you, or things that I give you in the translation, are the accuracy of both the Aramaic and Greek texts. But before I read this Hebrews 11, or part of it at least, with you, I'd like to say that all the great Old Testament leaders, starting with Abraham, are recorded as miracle workers. Verse 1 of 11. Faith is the word believing, because according to Galatians 3:23 that I handled with you last night, it said before faith what? Came. Before it came. So this about Abraham is before it was available on the day of Pentecost, right? Therefore, this word pistis in verse 1 is the word believing. Now, believing is the title deed. The title deed. Two things prayed for. The evidence that they are yours before they are seen. That's verse 1. Verse 2. For by it, believing, the elders, the King James says, obtained a good report. The text says, were made witnesses. For by believing, the elders were made witnesses. And I taught you last night that the word Protestant meant pro, for, testes means witnesses. Witnesses. Believers witness for God. Through verse 3, believing, we understand that the ages were prepared by the word of God. For God said, and it came into being. Framed or prepared by the word of God, to the end that things which are seen, things which are seen, came not into being by things which are seen. To the end that things which are seen came not into being of things which are seen. Verse 4. By believing, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which Abel obtained witness that he was what? God testifying, and by it he, Abel, even though he is dead, he yet speaketh. He's speaking by what his witness was here upon earth while he was living. Verse 5. By believing, Enoch was translated. Translated can be translated either transported or transferred. It simply means God took him from one place upon earth and put him over another place. I can understand that. He did that to Philip once in the book of Acts. And I think he could do it tonight. If you needed to be someplace, you were the only one that could handle the situation. It really needed to be God, still the same God. He could get you there without TWA or United or any of them. It is interesting also that this word translated, which the theologians and the sense knowledge men have all talked about, is, you know, he's dead now and we hear voices coming back from the dead places or something. This is used up in the Anglican Church, in the Roman Catholic Church. Whenever a bishop is given a bishop's seat, it doesn't make any difference. He may be the bishop of New Orleans and live in London, England. It would simply say in the text of the transfer of his responsibility, it would say that he was translated to New Orleans. That's the word. Doesn't mean he went this way. He just went from here over there. That's what Enoch did. That he should what? Not see death. I mean, verse 5. Up until this time, nobody had ever seen death. He never saw death. He never saw it. And was not found. They couldn't find him because God took him from here over there, because God had transferred him. And couldn't find him. I remember how long they looked for him. It tells you that in the Old Testament. They went looking for him. They couldn't find him. Well, God hid him. When God hides something, you can't find it. How about your sin? What did he do to that? That neat. For before his translation, he bore witness that he pleased God. That's the text. Before he was translated, he had never seen it. He didn't see it. Then he just died when God took him from here over there. He had never seen it. He had this witness that he pleased God. Now, it's real interesting to me that you jump from Abel to Enoch, because Noah happens to be in there, and neither of the three sons of Noah are mentioned in here. Verse 6 says, without believing it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is, he became, or is, a rewarder of them. God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Verse 7. By believing, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with reverence, respect, awe, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, the which he condemned the world by which, and he became heir of righteousness, which is by believing. Boy, you talk about the greatness of these men. You know, Noah didn't have a blueprint on how to build a ship. No one ever built one. So when God said, build one, Noah says, okay, what's the plan? So God told him. In Genesis chapter 6, give you this for your information. Genesis chapter 6. Got it here in my Bible someplace. Written down. It says in chapter 6. That the generation of Noah was a just man and perfect, without blemish, pure. He kept himself in it. And Noah walked with God. And God said to Noah, that record that I read, he prepared an ark. He prepared an ark. Verse 14 says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, of Genesis 6. And then in verse 15 he says, this is the fashion, the scheme which thou shalt make it of the blueprint. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. You want to put a window in it and all that stuff. The length of that ark was 526 feet and 6 inches. Never anyone ever built one before, and there wasn't even a blueprint for it. The breadth of it was 98 feet and 6 inches. The height of it was 56 feet and 3 inches. Our battleship Oregon of the United States of America is 1/6 smaller than Noah's Ark. It had 3,750 cubic feet of space, the same as the freight cars would have that were lined up one after the other for 13.5 miles. And God told him, you know, in 19 he ought to put some stuff in it. Two of every kind. Didn't say species, he said kind. And it's sort of wonderful what God all said. Then it says in verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him to do. Noah believed God. He walked the word. He talked the word. He obeyed it. Man, oh man. Look at verse 16 of the seventh chapter. And they that went in male and female of all genuses, as God had what? Commanded him. And then the Lord did what? I like that. The Lord, bloop, shut the door. He shut the door for two reasons. Number one, that the unbelievers couldn't pry it open and crawl in. And number two, that Noah wouldn't open it for him. That's right. Had old Noah closed that door when those unbelievers came along? You see, when the water first came up to their knees, they said, that ain't bad. When it got up to here, they said, well, it still ain't bad. We can still strut around. But by the time it got up here, they were swimming. And you know, after a period of time, you get tired of swimming. 2-3 days or whatever length of, kind of an athlete you are. Can't even make it through the English Channel, most people. Hey, about that time, who do you think was trying to get inside that boat? Oh, Noah, we love you, man. We're sorry we screwed you all the time before. But look, Noah will never do it again. Noah will stand with you. We'll back you up. Noah will just do anything if you just open the door. Aha! Noah said, God, I can't open the door. Well, God said, I closed you. Shut up, Noah. What would you have done? I know what I've done. If I could open the door, you know what I'd do? Open the door. That's why that great scripture is in there. Hardly anybody ever sees it, but it's the truth. It says that the Lord what? Shut the door. And I want to tell you, when the Lord shuts the door, nobody opens it. That's right. No more so when then it came down on the morning or so of the resurrection. And it said, the angel came and he rolled away the stone from the door. And he took on it. It says, where will you're going to have to sew it? When the Lord had that angel roll that stone away. And that word doesn't mean, here's a sepulchre, you know. It just doesn't mean he pushed it off here. That's all you would have needed to get Jesus Christ up and out, right? When God does something, he does it right. Here's a sepulchre. And the record says, and he rolled it away, right down to where those two clocks are. And then the angel sat on it. He said, now come on, boys, who's going to move me? And for fear of him, you remember? The keepers did shake, and those soldiers dropped like dead men. Because God had what? Moved. Boy, that's Noah. Man, oh man, you think you got believing? How about you building something that had never been done before? And God said, hey, oh Lord, 500, I don't know where that is. That's got to be from here to where the cord tents are or longer. I don't know how long, but I could measure it off, I guess. That was quite a little boat he built. All by believing whom? God. And now Noah. Man, oh man, oh man. Something, ain't it? Let's go back to Hebrews. Now we get to Abraham in verse 8. By believing Abraham, when he was called out to go to a place which he should afterward lambano for an inheritance, he did what? He obeyed. The word of God was the will of God. God said it. He meant it. They believed it. They walked on it. Abraham, by faith, verse 9, by believing, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country. All that stuff. But, verse 10 is great. He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is what? Through believing, Sarah herself received strength. How old was she? 90? Abraham was 99 to have a baby at 90. Some of you kids got trouble at 35. Hey, delivered of a child when she was past 8, because she judged. She considered him, God, faithful, who had made a what? The word of God was the will of God. Therefore, there sprang even of one as many dead, stars of the sky, all that stuff. Now, verse 13, these all what? Died. All died. All died in believing. Not having received what? The promises. Not having received the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw that city. They saw all of that. They believed what God said, but they never got the fulfillment of Christ's coming. You did. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory tonight, people. You've got it. They didn't have it. Look what they did by believing on the first coming. You've got Christ in you tonight, and I and you ought to believe in the second coming, the return. They saw them afar off, but were, verse 13, persuaded, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country. That's a heavenly country. God, wherefore God is not ashamed. God is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not ashamed to be called their God, because they believed God. They believed God. Even though all of them died, never having received the promise, God wasn't ashamed of them, because they did one thing. What? Believe God. That's why he prepared for them a city. By believing Abraham did so and so. Verse 20, by believing Isaac blessed Jacob. Yep. By believing Joseph in verse 22. Verse 23, by believing Moses when he was born was hid 3 months. Look at that. By believing Moses when he came to years, verse 24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have had the whole kingdom, but he refused it. He would rather choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt, even for a season. Verse 27, by believing he forsook Egypt. By believing in verse 28, they kept the Passover. And verse 29, by believing they passed through what? The Red Sea on dry ground. Verse 30, by believing the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by believing the word harlot is innkeeper. By believing the innkeeper Rahab perished not. Boy, he says, I just ain't got time to tell you about Gideon and Baruch and Samson, Jephthah, who through believing subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the enemy, aliens. Women received their dead raised to life. Boy, and others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They could have had, but they didn't accept it, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And the better resurrection is a second resurrection. There will be two resurrections, one of the unjust and the other of the just. And the resurrection of the just is the better of the two. That's the second. Other had, that's right, that's accuracy of text. And others had trials of cruel mocking, scourgings. Yea, over a bonds, imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheep's and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, of whom the world was what? not worthy. They wandered in deserts, mountains, dens, caves, and these all, having obtained a good report, straight A's, good report card, through one thing, what, people? Believing. Yet they received not the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 40, God having prepared some better thing for us. I'm reading here in Hebrews, some better thing from us, which is God in Christ in you, the hope of glory, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, just read you some of them. They're the witnesses. They're dead. But while they were living, what they believed and what they accomplished for God, witnessed for God, stood for God, let us lay aside what? Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto him, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied in your mind and faint in your mind. Verse 4, people, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against what? Boy, that's living victoriously with the victoriously living Christ. Just believing in his coming. You and I are not believing in his first coming. We have him as eternal life in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can't lose it. We're heaven bound and all hell can stop us from going. People, that's the victoriously living Christ. I told you that all the great Old Testament leaders, starting with Abraham, whose records are recorded in the words of God, were all miracle workers. But I'd like to say to you tonight, when it comes to the greatness of the victoriously living Christ, in the background of those Old Testament men and characters, you had Joseph. You remember the record of how Joseph went from prison to the second in command in the greatest nation of the history of the world at that time. Ladies and gentlemen, that has to be a miracle. The crossing of the Red Sea was a miracle. Imagine 2.5 million people or more surviving for 40 years in a wilderness. That had to be a miracle. The capturing of the city of Jericho was a miracle. All the prophets and all the kings of Israel who believed God did miracles. Israel returned from the Babylonian captivity by 4 great miracles. Jesus began his public ministry with a miracle. People, every outreach of God's word since the day of Pentecost has reverenced and has honored the name of the man from Galilee, and every outreach has been set forth by miracles. You know, the greatest of all theologians, preachers, philosophers are never going to rescue religion from its sterility. It's going to take people, humble men and women of God, who have a knowledge and a love of the victorious Christ in them, to carry the ministry of reconciliation. For they carry the word of reconciliation. And the power of Christ in them, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, people, man was created by a miracle-working God. And man really in his heart, in the innermost part of his being, man yearns for the miraculous, for the supernatural. He yearns to live in the atmosphere of men and women who are moving in the category of the miraculous and the supernatural. The miracle realm is man's genuine realm. It is his perfect realm. For he is by creation the miracle of the new birth, the son of the miracle working God. It is sin that makes believers, believer workers, believers who are workers, they are workers without the miraculous. Sin dethrones the spirit, and it enthrones and crowns the intellect. It is God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace, God's love, and God's power which enables believers to live in the realm of the miraculous. And people believing is not a fighting struggle. A believer should be as unconscious of having exercised believing as he is when he writes a check just knowing that he's got the money in the bank. The living victoriously Christ in you is the power of God, and people, it's his personal guarantee of John chapter 14 verse 12. Look it up. 14 verse 12. Verily, verily. And that's a double amen in the text. Amen and amen. And the word amen means so be it. So is it surely and absolutely. Jesus Christ says in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he who believeth on me, he who believeth on me. Jesus said this, the works that I, what? Do, shall he, that believer, do what? Also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my what? Father. And because he went to the Father, seated at the right hand of God, he sent forth this which you now see and hear on the day of Pentecost. People, it's the Christ in you. And Jesus himself said, the works that I do, you shall do also. The reason we haven't done them is because we've been talked out of them. Tradition has nullified the truth of the greatness of God's word for us. And so we have felt incapacitated, unworthy, all these other things. People, I want to live to see the greatness of this verse 12 coming to pass again in our day and in our time, because people, Jesus Christ paid the price. He did it. And he's the one who says, he who believeth on me. And in here tonight, we have thousands of people. And around the world, we have many more who believe on him. And Jesus Christ said it. The works that I do, ye shall, absolute tense, do also. So, ladies and gentlemen, That's the living, victorious Christ within you, and you ought to walk with the greatness of the power of God, people. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, how I thank you tonight for your wonderful living Christ within us. How I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit within us. Father, thank you for your word living in our day and time and among your people. Thank you. Thank you and thank you for allowing me to be with your people this week and next week in this wonderful Living Abundantly and Victoriously Living class, to share the greatness of the Word to the best of my ability in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I thank you. Amen. I do not know if I'm going to see and live to see the return of Christ, this second coming. But I have the same believing in the second coming that men like Abraham and those had for his first coming, but they never saw it either, but they believed. And so I believe he is coming back. And I believe that I'm going to someday see him face to face.